Just 40 miles separate Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. The nation's capital has some of the country's highest wages and some of its highest housing costs as well. Baltimore, on the other hand, might not have as many lucrative employment opportunities, but it's more affordable, much more affordable. So what if it were possible to take advantage both of Baltimore's lower property costs and Washington's higher paying jobs? One group is advocating for people to sign up for the Charm City commute. Joining me in studio is Stephen Gondo. He is the executive director of Live Baltimore. It's a nonprofit working to increase residency in Baltimore. Stephen Gondo, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kojo.
And we're interested in hearing your opinion early and often in this conversation, so give us a call, 800-433-8850. Do you commute to Washington from Baltimore? Have high housing prices forced you to move out of D.C.? What do you think of the idea? 800-433-8850. You can send email to kojo@wamu.org or shoot us a tweet at Kojo Show. Stephen, you road marked to Washington today from Baltimore. How did you enjoy your ride, and how long did it take you to get here?
It was a great ride. I dropped my kids off at daycare, which is right near Penn Station, boarded the 9:20 train, was here within an hour, and I think probably within 20 minutes later, I was on the Van Ness station and at WMU studio. So all in all, it was a quick ride, and I got caught up on a lot of emails.
Well, Live Baltimore's most recent ad campaign highlights the sharp differences in housing prices between Baltimore and D.C. Just how much cheaper is it to buy a home in Baltimore?
About five times.
Five times?
Yes.
So the same house that I can get for $500,000 in Washington, I can get for $100,000 in Baltimore?
Well, it depends on what kind of house you want. So we, you know, obviously buyer's preferences will vary that, but the median home price in 2015 in Baltimore is $110,000.
Have you seen, and the median home price, I should mention to our listeners who don't know that, in Washington is really $543,350. So it is five times as much. Have you seen an increase in interest recently by Washingtonians who want to relocate to Baltimore?
Yeah, we did two events around this campaign and this effort, one in November and one in January. And we saw the numbers of individuals who have indicated they're from D.C. or the D.C. metro area jump from about 5% to about 15% just in that span of interested home buyers.
Joining us now by phone is Gerald Niley. He is a former transportation planner for the city of Baltimore and author of the Baltimore Inner Space blog. Gerald, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kojo.
Gerald Niley, many people who choose to commute to Washington from Baltimore rely on the MARC commuter rail system. In your view, how effective a system is it?
Well, to get from Penn Station to Union Station is about an hour, and so everyone has to judge for themselves whether they can afford to devote an hour to a trip like that. I think the key would be to figure out the commutes at either end and then see if you can fit another hour in. If you commute to the Capitol Hill area around Union Station, that helps a lot. If you live in Penn Station area in Baltimore, that helps a lot. And I think that the planners, people like Live Baltimore, are really doing a good job now in promoting the Penn Station area, which the city has been trying to do it for decades. And I think just recently they figured out the way to make the area really livable and attractive to people.
800-433-8850. What has your experience been with Maryland's MARC commuter rail? You can also go to our website, kojoshow.org. Join the conversation there. We talk with WAMU's volunteer service coordinator about his former commute from Owings Mills, which is a suburb of Baltimore, to our studios here in Northwest Washington. Here's what Anthony Washington had to say when asked if he thought it was a good idea to move to Baltimore.
The cost of living is cheaper. I think Baltimore is a great city. There's always something going on. I'm a big fan of festivals. There's all kinds of neighborhood festivals, music festivals. And Baltimore, of course, is, you know, just like any other city, is going through transition. A lot more restaurants, a lot more retail. You have a great arts district now that's thriving over near North Avenue. So I can see somebody, you know, moving to Baltimore, and if they want to save some money and living expenses and commuting down. At the same time, you know, if you want to save 4 hours of your day, you know, or 3 or 4 hours of your day, or if you don't mind giving up that much time, it's a no-brainer. But if you're not if you're, you know, kind of really particular about making sure you have that time to do other things, it's not something you'd want to do.
Well, he does like the idea of all of the things that are available in Baltimore, but we then asked him more specifically about his daily commute when he was living in Owens Mills. Here's Anthony Washington again.
So I would take the Metro, as it's called, in the Baltimore area from Owings Mills, which is the furthest station out west, all the way down into downtown Baltimore to State Center. Between 15 and 20 minutes that would take. Then I would get off at State Center, and I'd walk over to Penn Station, Baltimore, which would take 10 to 12 minutes. Then get to Penn Station, wait for the MARC train, and I would take that MARC train into Union Station, Washington, get off there, get on the Metro, and take that up, the Red Line, up to Tenleytown. At that time, we were at the Brandywine Station. So that whole commute from front door to WAMU would take me sometimes between 2 and 2.5 hours, depending on the day. So in the morning, sometimes I could get here a little under 2 hours, but in the evening was always the worst.
Gerald Neely, I heard you gasping in response to what you heard Anthony saying. It doesn't take that long for you, does it?
No, well, to each his own. I guess if that actually worked, then, you know, God bless him. I think...
he now lives in Laurel, by the way, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think probably most people who live in the suburbs, like Owings Mills, would want to drive to a station. There's free parking at most of the suburban Baltimore stations along the MARC system. I don't think you'd want to take the Metro all the way down to State Center. And as he said, State Center doesn't even connect to Penn Station. And even if it did, that would only save him 10 minutes. And that 10-minute walk from State Center to Penn Station is probably a nice breath of fresh air for him compared with the rest of his journey.
You agree with that,
Steve? 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's probably one of the more extreme commutes.
Anthony is an extreme kind of guy.
As Gerald noted, I mean, what we are doing with our campaign is looking really more immediate. I mean, we obviously are a citywide organization, but when we look at the neighborhoods right around Penn Station that you could walk to, you know, whether it's Greenmount West, Mount Vernon, Midtown Belvedere, all of those neighborhoods last year averaged around $220,000 as a median home price. And so absolutely are not looking to add extensive transfers onto somebody's commute. So we're really showing that either within a 5-10 minute walk, or especially in our western or southwest neighborhoods like Union Square, a 5-minute drive to the West Baltimore MARC, what you can afford. So we're really trying to minimize those distances between home and the MARC train.
Glad you brought up those neighborhoods, because a new city can be intimidating to move to, especially one with as many diverse neighborhoods as Baltimore. What does Live Baltimore do to help people learn more about the city?
We identify that, you know, we're a city with so many great neighborhoods. We have 277 neighborhoods, and our focus is to bring those resources to prospective residents, whether they're looking to rent or buy, and understanding the differences of those neighborhoods, and whether it's the history, the architecture type, the affordability, the amenities. It's really important for people that want to be in cities. What can I walk to from my front door? And so we try to make sure that through our website, livebaltimore.com, that we can connect you to information to help inform your decision, to connect you to neighborhood know-it-alls that can help really bring that personal touch about what they love about their neighborhood. So we're really about bringing information to people looking to make a very serious decision about where they choose to live.
And I think you mentioned some of the neighborhoods that are attractive to D.C. commuters. I heard you say Greenmount West.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, what, Barclay?
Barclay. Many of those are in the Station North Arts and Entertainment District. So if your listeners have seen a show at the Charles Theater or have dined right up in that area there, Barclay, Greenmount West, Midtown Belvedere, all of those are within that Arts and Entertainment District.
Gerald, we mentioned Anthony's ride from Owings Mills on Metro, but how accessible are Baltimore's MARC station by other forms of transit like buses, light rail, subway?
Yeah, it's very variable. I think that, as we've been saying, being able to walk to a station in Baltimore is really the way to make it really work. Although to each his own, and there are certainly plenty of people who take transit, Baltimore has had really a very poor record of transit-oriented development over the years. Owings Mills area, for example, the metro station there has been open for like 30 years, and you know they've just now started getting some decent amenities right near the station. Similarly, the Penn Station area, making it an arts and entertainment district has done a lot more. Getting cooperation with the colleges in the area has done a lot more to improve the attractiveness of the area to everybody, D.C. commuters as well as Baltimore commuters, than anything that's been done with MARC or with the rest of the transit system. We have a light rail connection to Penn Station. It only runs once every half hour, and it runs down Howard Street, which is one of the slowest rides on rail transit you can imagine. And the Howard Street district has been another one of the failures of transit-oriented development in Baltimore. So, you know, just making the neighborhoods livable has been much better and has allowed Live Baltimore to do a much better job of promoting the neighborhoods than anything having to do with transit.
Here is Thomas in Odenton, Maryland. Thomas, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you. I just want to put in a plug for the Odenton station.
Well, you should.
I moved here from Europe about 5 years ago. And I'd waited for the station to offer a weekend service. So not only have they offered weekend service, but they also put bike cars on the rear of the train. So living in here in Odenton, you've got a benefit of going to Baltimore with several stops, one stop to BWI, three stops to Union Station. And it's been the best thing that I've ever encountered. Nothing but positive.
Transit-oriented development has actually worked better in the suburbs along the MARC lines than it has in the Baltimore metropolitan area itself. Odenton,
totally,
for example, a really good example, and then also like Savage and Muirkirk, which is closer to D.C. It's been very successful. But, of course, Live Baltimore has to focus on Baltimore.
Thank you very much for your call, Thomas. We move on now to Nick in Washington, D.C. Nick, your turn.
Hi, Koja. Thanks so much for taking my call. I hope you healed up nice when you joined the tattoo. But my question is, what has Baltimore done to prepare for a potential influx of new residents? Have they prepared to prevent the displacement of communities that are already there? Because it kind of sounds like this is potentially a recipe for a discussion on gentrification in 5 to 10 years.
Well, Stephen, have you seen any demographic trends among the type of people who are choosing to settle in Baltimore? Are there mostly younger people moving in? Is there a mix? How do you deal with the possibility of displacement?
Yeah, I mean, I think of who's moving in, it's kind of the cliche. It's young people. It's empty nesters. It's even families that would normally leave are opting to stay. But I think the concern the caller has about displacing people, we're a little bit different in the fact that we've lost a third of our population since the 1950s. And with that, we have either had unoccupied or underoccupied or vacant homes. And so we don't have as much of the displacement or gentrification, as some people call it, that other cities have because of the sheer number of available properties. As we're talking about getting ready to accommodate people, our downtown core is one of the fastest growing neighborhoods. We've added thousands of new apartment units right in the downtown area between Penn Station. So we have availability of rental housing stock. And there's obviously a number of existing housing stock throughout the city. So it's not that's not a concern that we have. I'd like for that to be, if that's a problem that we encounter, I'll take that problem any day.
Nick, are you the Nick who gave me my DC tattoo?
I am, yes indeed, Kojo.
Guilty as charged, huh?
Guilty as charged.
But it's working real well. Thanks a lot, Nick.
Great to hear.
And thank you for your call.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation about working in D.C. and living in Baltimore and taking your calls at 800-433-8850. Would you consider commuting from Baltimore if you could get to D.C. in, say, 15 minutes? 800-433-8850. You can send email to kojo@wamu.org or a tweet at Kojo Show. I'm Kojo Nand. Welcome back to our conversation about living in Washington, or working in Washington and living in Baltimore. Later, we'll be talking about social media and national security. Can they get along? But right now, we're continuing our conversation about commuting from Baltimore with Stephen Gondal. He's the executive director of Live Baltimore. It's a nonprofit working to increase residency in Baltimore. And Gerald Neely is a former transportation planner for the city of Baltimore and author of the Baltimore Inner Space blog. Stephen, beside the cost, what other sorts of benefits are there to living in Baltimore?
I think it's the accessibility of the arts and the culture and just everyday amenities, whether recreation, parks, and just more of an ability to feel you're able to live versus, living to work. And so Baltimore is known for that laid-back kind of atmosphere, and it's true. As a former D.C. resident, I can attest that you definitely have a sense that there's just a little bit less pressure when affordability, housing is more affordable than it is here in D.C.
What do you say, Joe? What are the benefits of living in Baltimore?
Oh, I think everybody has to decide for themselves. Baltimore has got a lot of natives who've been living here for 20, 30, 50, 100 years, and Washington is much more of a transient city. It's home.
Here is Biff in Union Square, Baltimore. Biff, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
How are you doing, Kojo? I'd like to say, first off, that many of us have moved from Washington up here to Baltimore, but we're still huge fans of your show and are glad we get to still listen and participate.
Thank you very much.
And so me and my wife moved from D.C., and we bought our house in 2006 and moved in January 2007, so we're easing up on a decade here, and we found the quality of life to be amazing here in Baltimore while still keeping, the wonderful jobs in D.C., and I've only increased the commute time by 10 minutes from when I used to live in 12th and S Northwest.
Wow, from 12th and S to Baltimore, and the commute only increased by 10 minutes?
Yes, by the time you count traffic in D.C. with the stoplights, and Union Square is very close to the West Baltimore MART station, 295 within 5 minutes without getting caught in any traffic inside the city. It's very convenient. Matter of fact, in our neighborhood, probably over 50% of the residents actually commute out to D.C. or to Annapolis. We've been that way for decades.
Wow.
Over here. I laugh. We're kind of a secret in Baltimore, because so many of the people do work in D.C.
Wow. Biff, thank you very much for your call. Thank you for sharing that story with us. But Stephen, Biff's reaction is not like a lot of people who currently live in Washington. When they hear about the idea of moving to Baltimore and commuting to D.C., reactions in this city range from amusing to downright insulting. Why do you think it's sometimes such a hard sell to convince Washingtonians to even consider living in Baltimore?
Well, I think the narrative around the two cities has been very much of a rivalry. And one of the things that we're trying to do, especially with our recent efforts and our recent campaign, was to change that from whose city's better to really looking at opportunity, affordability, options. And I think that's, what people, if we can acknowledge that D.C. is an incredible international city with some of the world's best culture. But when it comes down to where you're going to put your head down at night, I think people, though, may never have thought they'd be a Baltimorean, when they look at the options, I mean, as Biff just said, he's in the Union Square neighborhood. What's probably attractive is that neighborhood, their larger homes are roughly 3,100 square feet, and the average price right now is around $240,000. So that's a huge difference, and that changes a lot of people's opinions on whether they'd ever be a Baltimorean or not. And as we look at homes around D.C., we found a house in I Street Northeast, and 1,300 square foot home for $685,000. And so I think that as you start looking, I think that that sometimes can really sway people's positions on what they can and can't do.
Here now is David in Baltimore, Maryland. David, your turn.
Yes, thank you, Coach Joe. I appreciate this. I just moved from North Potomac to the Charles Village, Old Goucher neighborhood in Baltimore, and I just think it's terrific. I was hesitant to call just because there may be a flood of D.C. residents up there that kind of will spoil a good thing, but I do think that your point about the one of the things I don't miss about living in the D.C. area, and I do work in Gaithersburg and Rockville, is the pretentiousness that you talk about. And that's one thing you don't have in Baltimore, and it's a real strength. you know, was rated number two in Zagat for the food, for foodies. It's really has, it's really great quality of life. What we looked at is, we're empty nesters, so we moved back to the city. I'm from New York originally. I have everything I need with the nicer people. The sense of community is terrific. We have access to everything without, without the attitude and without the expense. And of course, you still get to go down to, DC, for entertainment. So I think it's really great. My wife and I have started to commute, and I think, like the other call said, we have Montgomery County school teachers, and we moved in. My wife works for MCPS. She, we found there are three other people that work in Montgomery County on our block and, on Town North Calvert. So it's amazing.
It looks like we're uncovering one of the region's better kept secrets here today. But, David, thank you very much for your call. Gerald, many Baltimoreans were disappointed when Governor Larry Hogan announced last year that a proposed light rail line in Baltimore would not be built. What impact did the cancellation of the Red Line have on transit connectivity in the city?
Yeah, well, the problem with the Red Line that Hogan and his secretary, Ron, stated was that it, the downtown tunnel was a fatal flaw. In my opinion, and Hogan hasn't come on board on this, what we need to build is a west-only red line, and that would connect to the West Mark Station, which is what the caller from Union Square uses. There's a real contrast there, Union Square being a fantastic, beautiful, very livable neighborhood, and then the station right around the West Baltimore Mark Station is a horrible neighborhood, and it's, you know, been ruined by the highway to nowhere, so-called, which is where people have to park when they're coming to that station. And probably getting back to what I said before, it isn't transit access to the stations that's the big issue so much as it is livability. So what you need to do is get rid of the highway to nowhere, which is by far the number one thing that could be done to improve livability in the West Baltimore Mark Station area. And that will take away that contrast between the very beautiful neighborhoods nearby, like Union Square, and the very desolate, awful neighborhood around the West Baltimore Mark Station, which is basically doesn't have anything in it except Mark parking and a huge highway whizzing through. And so, you know, transit is important, but livability is really the thing. And livability is also what causes the very negative image of a lot of people to Baltimore. Famously, people see the view from the railroad tracks of Baltimore, and it's some of the worst views of Baltimore you can have, and it really brings down the whole image of the city when, if you can get beyond some of those desolate views out the train window, things can be really, really nice. And one of the real success stories lately is an area that is now being called Station East over in East Baltimore. Ironically, they don't even have a transit station at Station East. I think the Live Baltimore's probably had something to do with this. But they've done a great job of rehabbing and selectively demolishing houses and starting to create a really nice neighborhood. And then, you know, sooner or later, we're going to need a West Baltimore Mark Station. There are plans on the board right now. Actually, they're not very good plans. I think the developers and the image makers are ahead of the transit planners here. And we ought to be able to make it work from that.
Here's Mike in Severn, Maryland. Mike, your turn.
Hey, guys. I love Baltimore. I was born in Baltimore. We've always lived in the suburbs, and my wife and I, as empty nesters, you know, kind of look up there and think about that for our future. One of the issues that we've had is the property taxes in Baltimore have always been a concern. They're twice the rate of the local jurisdictions around it. So if you know, apples to apples, you're basically going to double your property tax outlay. Are there any things that the guests and the government could do to creatively try to drive those rates down?
Here's Stephen Gundel.
Yeah, I mean, the tax rate is an issue, and it's not an issue that's unique to Baltimore. Other, you know, as many American cities lost population, they're trying to recover that lost revenue through raising taxes. We try to inform people that there are some measures in place. The current mayor has a 20 cents by 2020 reduction. Obviously, the Maryland Homestead Tax Credit, which for every homeowner is prevents your assessment from increasing more than 4% during assessment years, and also the Homeowner's Tax Credit, which actually limits the tax liability of the homeowner if they make under $60,000 or less. And so while it's not a perfect answer, there are a number of approaches. And so we just try to, help people utilize programs that are out there to minimize it, and then also inform them about what, you know, what you are getting for that. We look at, while you do pay more to live in a city, what are you reducing? Commuting, you know, you might not need a second car. You might be able to reduce, you know, go from driving to taking transit. So there are some savings in other areas that people don't automatically look at.
A lot of people are drawn to Baltimore by its charming historic row houses. That's one of the reasons it's charm city. But some prospective home buyers may prefer a more modern home. Are there affordable, new, more modern homes in the city?
We have everything. We have everything from what you typically think of a downtown high-rise, apartment or condo. We have new construction that, especially within our Greektown neighborhood or in the southwest side in the Uplands area, and we have beautiful, larger homes, mansions, Victorians. The city is really, as a transplant from Ohio via D.C., really has surprised me that it offers somebody everything. The only thing I say we don't offer is farms, and I think that's all right. So.
Well, we got this email from Ben in D.C. who says it would be nice to commute from Baltimore, but it would be much easier and feasible if the MARC service was more frequent and better quality. What challenges are faced with the current Hogan administration unwilling to significantly invest in improving the commuter rail? But you can answer that, Gerald, but also because we don't have a great deal of time left, over the past few years there's been a discussion about connecting Washington and Baltimore with a magnetic levitation or maglev train system that would cut the trip time down to 15 minutes. How does that system work?
Oh, well, the maglev technology has been around for a long time, and the Japanese have developed a prototype system, and the Europeans, and the reason why it's never gotten anywhere is because it's such a transformative technology. I think that people just haven't figured out how to use it. The only active public maglev in the world, I believe, is in the Shanghai airport. And it just so happens that just a few weeks ago, the state got another grant from the federal government, $28 million, to study maglev yet again. And it's something that absolutely deserves to be studied. In my opinion, the key is to treat it as a completely new, clean slate kind of system. Back in the 90s, the state did a maglev study, and they were focused on serving the airport. That just doesn't make any sense to me. The airport is such a specialized thing. It caters to the high expense account, high income kind of traveler. What we need is a maglev system that creates a whole new kind of development and transit travel option.
Well, here's the idea that Marcus in Salisbury, Maryland has. Marcus, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Kojo. Thanks for taking my call. I was just saying perhaps Baltimore and D.C. should focus more on, and governmentally at least, focus on coexisting as twin cities. I mean, Baltimore has a great housing stock, great neighborhoods, and I think D.C., the district government, should definitely try to lobby on behalf of Baltimore to the state government to try to get more improvement on transportation options, and economic development, so that hopefully D.C. and Baltimore can work better to improve the entire sort of mega region we have in the D.C.
I guess that's when we'll have to talk to the politicians about, Stephen.
Attracting the Olympics.
Well,
that was the idea for that.
Yep.
I think the color is a great point. I mean, one of the things that we're looking at is, you know, we have such an incredible workforce talent between D.C. and Baltimore, and I think that we all lose when that talent either is feels like they're priced out and they end up leaving the area altogether. And so, like the caller mentioned, there is a collaborative, there's a value there, I think, that if we can retain more of these people by telling them they could have remain in their positions here in D.C. and yet live a really reasonable lifestyle in Baltimore, we're all for that. We think we're grateful for the, you know, the D.C. Economy, and we're grateful for our current commuters. But I think that if we look at it that way, that this isn't, again, this isn't a rivalry or competition. This is an opportunity for the two cities to really grow into a really incredible region.
Stephen Gondal, he's the executive director of Live Baltimore. It's a nonprofit working to increase residency in Baltimore. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Gerald Neely is a former transportation planner for the city of Baltimore. He's author of the Baltimore Inner Space blog. Gerald, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'm going to have to blog on this now that I know how interested everyone is.
Seems to be. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, social media meets national security. Can they, should they get along? Answers after the break. I'm Kojo Nand.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kojo Namdi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thanks.